Well, we thank you, exalt your name, we magnify your name today. Even as we open your word, to peep into your word, we ask that you blow life into it, amen, so that your people might live.
Amen.
In your word there is life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your life is to be greatly desired.
Amen.
Blessed be your name.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, it's good to refresh ourselves at times to know why Jesus Christ came to the world. Why did he come to the world? Because apparently the world represents spiritual darkness. The world represents absence from the reality of God's realm. Where you have sorrow, pain, where there is death, where things change, where things perish. Know for sure that it's not God's realm. God's realm is unchangeable. God inhabits eternity. God inhabits a dimension that is not changeable. It's not changeable. And that is the dimension or world that Jesus Christ has come to introduce to us. He said, he did not come to this world to kind of repair this world, or to, let's say, heal the world in the way we think healing means. Rather, he came to reveal to us a new and living way. I'm going to explain what I mean shortly, because there's a tendency at times to get the significance of the coming of Christ. Many people get it wrong to this very day. And I thank God that we'll be able to see and understand certain things through first-hand revelations, not just by letters. First-hand revelations. You see, Paul talked about a man who was caught up into heaven 14 years earlier on, who saw things in heaven and heard things, unspeakable things. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And there are people on the earth today who have had that same experience. And who still have that same experience, they have the ability to see beyond this world, the dimensions of the ages to come, and to declare it to the body of Christ upon the earth. See, we all are members of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what you feel in your body. It doesn't matter what you are experiencing. We all originated out of the body of Christ. But he has come now to gather us back into that reality. See, and we know in that reality there is no death. He says that you will not allow your son, your Holy One, suffer corruption. And if we are the body of Christ, we all are supposed to be partakers of that divine life that is in Christ. Praise God. It's very important we know these things. That is why we are hearing things like this. Is it Jacob? Have you heard of Jacob's ladder? Jacob had a vision. He saw a ladder going up into heaven, and angels coming, going up and down that ladder. What are these angels doing? They were going up, peeping into heaven, seeing things, heavenly things, and bringing them down to the people of the earth. Jesus Christ says, you shall see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That is what is happening today. We are hearing things concerning the ages to come. Things that are eternal. Things that are in God. Because everything we see in this world will pass away before you know it. It is written in the Bible, and we know it through common sense, that the things that are seen are what? Temporary. See, but there is a realm that is eternal. Hallelujah. Job speaks about this realm, the book of Job. Job says that there is a place, a realm, that God puts an end to darkness. It's a place where you have dust of gold. It's a place where manna abounds. Bread comes out of the earth. See it? It's a plane of fine gold. Gold talks of divinity. Something that is incorruptible. See it? It's a realm where man puts an end to darkness. He says, but that realm, the beasts have not seen it. The wild lion, the wild, you know, beasts have not climbed on that road to that place. They have not seen it. Neither the vultures, the birds of prey, they have not seen it. They've only heard of it by rumor, but they have not seen it. He's talking about man here. Man is the beast. He said, mortal man, the natural man, has not seen this place that God has reserved for those he loves, for his people. And you better believe that God is talking about you. When God says he loves somebody, he's talking about you. See, even Bin Laden, whatever he is now, God still loves him. He still has to simply repent and come back to his right senses, and he will be in God's bosom. That's how it operates. No matter how we despise somebody as men, no matter what we feel about other people as men, it does not influence the love that God has for the people of this world. Amen?
Amen.
You see, but the truth is that God cannot help you. Everybody wants God to come and help him. Everybody wants God to come and heal him. But God cannot help you. The only way God can help you is if you listen to his voice. God is spirit. All you can do is to listen to God. To listen to him. And when you listen to him, he will elevate you. It's by the things that you hear from God that you are elevated from that low state into his realm. Hopeless God.
Amen.
Isaiah speaks about this dimension also. He says that a path of holiness, that only the redeemed of God will pass through that path.
Yeah.
See, it's a place where the ravenous beasts, which is men, men are beasts, you know that? In the spiritual eyes, when you look through the eyes of the spirit and you see men in their fallen state now, I'm talking your fallen state, men are beasts. See, Ecclesiastes says that men are like beasts that perish. Paul, Jude, refers to men as brute beasts. So when you reason with your natural senses, you are no different from what the animals. The animal on the street, just all you can do is to think of his stomach and how we survive for that moment. But they have no true knowledge, divine knowledge of God. That is how a man is in his fallen state. He's reduced into a mere beast. So Isaiah speaks about this path of holiness that leads to life. Only the redeemed of the Lord shall walk on this path. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, unto them sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Amen.
It shall be a thing of the past, no more, in the new creation that God has prepared for them. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And these things are present, but men are, they are, you know, the eyes of men is blinded so that they can't see. You know God is present?
Yes.
Do you know angels are present?
Yes.
I've experienced this in several times. I know it.
Yes.
See, I don't need to read anybody's book. I know it. They are present. See, you can testify that we were here several times and God has showed you several certain things.
Yes.
At times of these things are transmitted to you by messengers of God.
Yes.
Who are, whose scope is simply to testify of God's word. We suffer lack, we suffer pain, we suffer many things, we suffer as men because we are not aware of God's word. Praise God. But now we have the testimony from heaven. God has ascended, descended into this world in the form of Christ Jesus to give us understanding.
Yes.
Praise God. And it says that as many as receive him, he has given them the power to become sons of God. As many as receive him, he has given them the power to rule and to reign. He has given them the power to get back to that place, to that spiritual height from which they fell in Adam. And how do we receive Jesus? You receive him by receiving his words.
Yes.
See, you have to receive his testimony, his words.
Yes.
If you keep his words, then you are his friend.
Yes.
Then you have received him. You can't have Jesus and not have his word. You can't have Jesus and not have his testimony and agree with his testimony. And if you look at Jesus, what everything that Jesus Christ ever spoke about was concerning God's kingdom.
Yes.
You read the Bible from A to Z. Jesus Christ never spoke about geography, about mathematics. He never spoke about how you can make money.
Jesus.
He never spoke about how your marriage will be successful. He never spoke about how laws that will separate your inheritance and all those things. In fact, at times they brought these things to him. And he always told them that he has nothing to do with those. His mind was always on the Father's kingdom.
Yes.
The Father's invisible realm. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And that is what he has come to reveal to us. He has come to reveal a realm, a dimension, a world. And he says that where I am, you may be also. I am gathering you so that where I am, you will be also. Now where I am is not somewhere in the sky, far away. It's a spiritual dimension. Christ dwells in the spirit upon Mount Zion. That is the place of the King of glory. The psalmist says that I have placed my king upon Mount Zion. Praise God. That is where the king, that is Christ, seated. And he's saying that where I am is where you will be. See it.
Sure.
Paul says that he is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of God talks of the place of all power, the place of all glory, the place of all joy, the place of all peace, the place of immortality, incorruption, everything. That is where God has commanded the blessing forever. Every spiritual blessing without measure, the anointing without measure. For those who find that place where Jesus is. It's a dimension, it's a realm. You can attain to that place even right now. As you walk upon the earth, it is real, it is true, it's not story, fairy tale. But the problem is that very few people are able to attain to that place. Why? Because as you follow on to know Christ, it will mean losing your own life. And this is where many people stumble. Losing your own life. See it. If you cannot lose your life as a man, if you cannot lose your life as a mortal, you cannot be worthy of my own life. You are not worthy of me. That's what Jesus Christ said. If you cannot pick up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of me. You are not worthy of my kingdom. You are not worthy of my life. See it? And very few people who can ever dare to trust God. Abraham, he left everything. Everything that he had labored for 75 years. Everything that he had identified himself with for 75 years. When he heard the voice saying, Abraham, get up, follow my voice, my leading, leave everything. Abraham left everything. And what happened? God prospered him. Why? Because he dared to trust God.
Yes.
See it? God prospered him. And I tell you, those who would dare to follow, receive the testimony of Christ, and allow the Spirit lead them into the invisible. Now, mark this word, into the invisible. Because there's a realm.
Unseen.
Yes, the unseen realm. Because there's a realm that is present, which is the real realm. It's the realm of the invisible. See it? You have friends or relations or whatever that have passed away. They are still there. They are still there. You know that? Some of them get into the other side and they are confused. They don't know what's happening. They might have to still hear this kind of message so that they can find their rest. See, when your eyes are open, you discover that nobody ever dies. See, we believe in the concept called death because we think that this life in the body is our life. But in reality, this is not our life. We are spirit. We are in the image of our Father God. You know that? God is the Father of all spirits, of all men, you know that?
Yes.
Everyone, eh? No matter what somebody did to you yesterday, whatever, it doesn't change who he is. Amen. Some people would not like this, but it's the truth. You have to exercise yourself to put on the mind of God and see the creation from God's perspective. See, so if you receive the words of Jesus Christ, what are you receiving? You are receiving the words of the Father. You are receiving testimony of God's invisible kingdom. You are receiving testimony of the Son of God. And who is the Son of God?
Jesus.
Now, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you know, there's a greater mystery to all of this. Jesus Christ also came to testify of the Son of God in you. Praise God.
Amen.
When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's speaking about a spiritual state, a higher self, a higher consciousness. You know, people think that there's somebody called Jesus somewhere in the sky, sitting down somewhere in a big chair with gold. People think that maybe there's someone, you know, Jesus they will meet tomorrow who will come from the sky. But people have these beliefs because they have not understood the Bible. Even Paul wrote it, that if we have known Jesus after the flesh, we no longer know him in that manner. Because he descended from the realm of the spirit, from the unseen, like Daddy says, from the invisible, he descended from that dimension into flesh and blood for one purpose: to reveal the mystery of godliness. That's why I came here, to this world, to testify. Can a spirit talk to you?
No.
See, how will you hear the gospel if somebody doesn't come in the flesh, in the form of human being? So Jesus Christ is not a man. He says, before Abraham was, I am. I am. It is written clearly that all things created, all things seen and unseen, were created by him. Now, if everything that is seen and unseen that is created by him, that means he too is unseen.
Correct.
Because that which is seen came out of the unseen. So we have to cancel our idea of what Jesus is. Jesus is a higher
spirit.
It's a spirit. That is, it's written here that the Lord is the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. And
hallelujah.
Jesus Christ came and stood in the midst of the earth, says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. What is he talking about?
Amen.
He's talking about, he's saying that is the true light of every man. If you want to rediscover true life in God, you must first of all rediscover yourself. Because within you, no matter how far you are, no matter your problem, whether it's health problem, whether it's no matter where you find yourself as a human being today, yes, it doesn't matter. You must receive the testimony that within you is what? Which is Christ, the Son of God. Christ, the Son of God, represents the image of God. Represents the image of the living God. See, when God says, let us create man in our image and likeness, that is Christ. See? And I can assure you that man God created is spirit. See, God is spirit, isn't it?
Yes.
If we are in the image and in the likeness of our Father, we are spirits. See, we are spiritual beings. Now, we can escape the problems in this world today if we recognize our true selves. There has to be what they call an ascension, an awakening. Have you heard of the resurrection from the dead? Resurrection from the dead. It's an awakening. When you are dead, you are asleep in your grave. See, but the hour has not come. When you begin to hear truth like this, this is the truth that awakens you back into your true self. See, you can discover paradise only as you rediscover your true self, which is Christ. Christ in you, Paul writes it. These are some of the scriptures, key scriptures I use. Paul writes that Christ in you is the hope of what? Of glory. He didn't say Christ in the sky. He didn't say Christ in Jerusalem. Christ in what? In you, in the, it's your hope of glory. Now what is he trying to say? He's trying to say your ability to recognize the mystery of the indwelling Christ in you, the Son of God in you, is what will open the door to heaven. You can begin to enjoy heaven right now, even right now while you're on earth. You know, Lazarus came to, was it Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night to ask him to understand the secret of his power. He told Jesus that, look, I can see that you are not an ordinary man. I can see that God is with you. Now, Nicodemus was a teacher of high esteem, a religious man, just like a pope, just like a bishop, just like an evangelist, a pastor. He was a big man, renowned, righteous man among men. But he recognized that Jesus was different from them.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ had God. He could recognize that Jesus was a product from another kingdom. He knew that something different from this man. It's not like us. We just have talk.
Yeah.
We just quote scriptures and big talk, but we don't have that presence that Jesus Christ has. He knew. So he went to investigate, and Jesus Christ told him, you are a teacher in Israel and you do not know these simple things. You must be born again if you want to walk like I walk. If you want to do the things that I do, if you want to stand in the place that I stand, you must be born again. There must be a rebirth. See it, a rebirth. Born again of water and of spirit. Because flesh and blood cannot enter God's kingdom. Flesh and blood is the form that we have all inherited as men. You know that it's a low state. We descended into a low state. Called flesh and blood, a finite state. Say it, a weak state, an inglorious state. This is what God was demonstrating when Adam descended into the dust. You know, dust you are, dust you return, represents man's systematic descent into flesh and blood. See it, men are trapped in this flesh. See it, living according to the flesh, in the lusts of the flesh, in the pride of life. Say it, all these things comes as a result of man's loss of his true original state. That high self in God's glory. Garden of Eden is not a place somewhere you find somewhere in Jerusalem. See, you can go and look for a historical location for the Garden of Eden in Babylon or wherever you want. It does not equate to the truth we are speaking of today. Because the Garden of Eden is a dimension, it's a realm, praise God, that we can attain to as we are working to truth. Praise God. There has to, first of all, be recognition. You must hear the voice of the Father saying, come up hither. Praise God. Come up hither. John in the book of Revelation heard that voice that says what? Come up higher. You know, I was in a meeting some years ago in Como, and a pastor, a prophet from the Cameroons saw me, and he called me out. He called both of us out, myself and my wife, and he told me that he sees a high mountain in front of me. And apparently I had seen that vision some days earlier on. But he now says, so a high mountain, for, and he can hear somebody telling him that I should go up to that high mountain. Now that kind of message is not for only me. It's for every man today. Even Jesus, before Jesus Christ could hear that voice saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Before Jesus could transfigure, he had to go what? High. The Bible says he went on a 3 days journey to a high mountain. And when he was on that high mountain, he became like light. You remember last year or 2 years ago, you saw that vision here? God showed you somebody come out with light, with a white sparkling light garment. You can't remember. Here you are there as we were speaking. So that is how the Spirit just simply testifies. Jesus Christ went up. And when he went up, he transfigured. He had to ascend higher. Why didn't he do it upon the earth? God was trying to demonstrate to us something, that we all have to go higher spiritually, because we are not flesh and blood. We are not carnal creatures. We are sons of God. See, we are celestial beings. We have the nature of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have to go up higher. Come up here. See, and when you go higher, you will discover your true self, who is one with God. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ was up upon the mountain, a cloud came to encompass him. And out of the cloud, the Bible says it was a bright cloud. It encompassed him as his body was shining. See, they saw his transparent form. He became transparent, light. His face was like the sun, shining in his brilliance. And that bright cloud covered him, and out of the clouds came a voice saying, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased." And he said, "What? Hear him." That's what, hear him. That is all God can do for you.
Listen to him.
Listen to him. That is all God can do for you. If you want healing, if you want to how do I progress in the things of God? If you want to escape the realm of death, if you want to rediscover paradise, all you need to do is to hear him. Let the testimony, let the voice of the Spirit lead you back to the place of all power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can see that it's all about ascension. See, our being born again is a translation from the lower identity we have born as men, and our return back to the glory of God, which is represented by the spiritual man. See, every man has that same image in him, which Christ demonstrated. See, in the book of Daniel, God showed Daniel something. In the book of Daniel, Daniel saw this same Jesus that we are talking about today, years before he came. Amen.
Amen.
This same Jesus, years before he came on the scene, appeared to Daniel as a messenger. And he had the same appearance of Jesus. That same transfigured Jesus. He had that same appearance. But there was something that Daniel noticed. When this man spoke, Daniel noticed that his voice, it was not just one man speaking. It was a crowd. It was a multitude that was speaking from that same voice. One voice, but a multitude. Many men were speaking. Who are those men that were speaking in that one body? It's you and I. It's what? You and I. This is the mystery of God that we are seeing in this hour. Paul says that there is one body of Christ, many members. It's a spiritual body. There's one spiritual body that stands upon Mount Zion, and that body is a body composed of what? Multitudes. We all originate from that body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In your true ascended state, you will know that you have been even before Abraham. I've felt it, I've heard it, I've known it, and I testify. You will know that you have been from the beginning.
Oh yes.
When you go up into that place, you begin to remember how you created the heavens and the earth. When you go up into that place, you begin to remember things that you did in the beginning. But all these are the things we lost when we fell into the lower parts of the earth. Praise God. God wants to, but God has come now to restore us back. See, 1 John chapter 5. There's something that John says, because this is a very deep revelation. Because you know, people clap, the concept we have of God is that God is something far away. and we are here. All this thing came about because men descended. The original idea was that we have our being in God. We walk in God. We have our being in God. Our life was hid in God. That was how it was in the beginning. But in the descent, we now started seeing God from far. You know, that was when people started to make sacrifices, burnt offerings, trying to reach God. See, some people even try to build a tower to reach God. Religion tries to build a tower to reach God. That's what religion is all about. It's how to reach a God that is far away. But look at what John the Apostle says. 1 John chapter 5. John the Apostle was the closest to Jesus. Now, these are scriptures that people read over the years, but they don't see it. Some years ago, I was in a fellowship with some brethren who are well read in the Bible, who have understanding. But when I showed them this scripture, they were in state of shock. I observed one man put on his glasses to look at the thing again, and he opened his mouth. Why? Because he has been reading this thing for many years and he never saw it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Revelations, 1 John chapter 5. This is one of the, without doubt, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. This is what they call pure, undiluted truth. You know, at times in the scripture, you hear of diluted allegories. It always comes out to give you these things in bits. Because at times, some of these things are very heavy. At times, when you say some of these things, they can kick you out of the church. They can drag you away. Many times, they don't invite me anymore. You see it? But God is wise. He always gets me the right people that will listen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come, that's Christ, and has given us an understanding. He has given us a revelation and an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are what in him that is true. Even in his Son Jesus Christ. Now look at what it says here. This is the true God and eternal life. Now this is understanding that he has come to give us. This is the key back to omnipotence. This is the key back to our glory as sons of God. He has come to what? To give us our what? An understanding that we are what? We are in him. That is truth. That is the truth. And this man that is the truth is the true God and what? Eternal life. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Thomas asked Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus turned and looked at Thomas. How long have I been with you and haven't you seen me? Don't you believe that the Father is in me and I am the Father? Don't you understand this mystery? This mystery of godliness? Paul says that God is the embodiment. Jesus is the embodiment of the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. Like I told you, Christ is not a physical human being. Christ is spirit. And he's not trying to teach us. He has come to give us the revelation that we lost. He's trying to lift us back into that dimension of sons of God through this knowledge. He says that what? We are in him. We are one, praise God.
Hallelujah.
We form the body of what? Of Christ. And collectively we are what? We are the body of what? Of God. That is the true God and eternal life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All power in heaven and earth is ours. But we must get this revelation right now. Do you know how you can worship God? Do you know how you can please God? It's by ascending back into your true self. Say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Did you see Jesus Christ clapping and singing there?
No.
See, do you see him shouting and he's staying all night? Do you see him doing that?
Mm-hmm.
All he had to do to please God was to stand in the truth, to accept, and automatically you please God. Amen.
Amen.
Don't you love yourself?
Love myself.
So God loves himself.
Yes.
If you are sent up, you will discover that you are not a man. You will discover that I and the Father are one. I've experienced it. I know it is true. I've experienced the power, the quickening, and I know it's true. It is real. It's not storybook. It's not theology. It's not anything that a man can give to you. You have to receive it from God. Flesh and blood cannot give you this revelation. Flesh and blood means the wisdom of man. Flesh and blood can only form religion. And religion simply tries to reach out to a God that is far away. Say it. Religion calls it blasphemy to be equal with God. Paul says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. See, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Put on the same mind of Christ Jesus, who taught it not robbery to be equal with God. Do you know what one of the reasons why they killed Jesus? Because he claimed to be equal with God. It's written here. When he said, I and the Father are one, they took up stones.
Who are you?
To stone him. He said, before Abraham was, I am. It was the greatest insult to the Israelites.
As far as you are concerned.
That was an insult.
Yes.
See, and to kill Jesus and to crucify him was like service to God. Like they were doing the right thing.
Yes.
That this man has claimed to be God. In fact, the high priest too, he tore his clothes. When Jesus Christ said before to Pilate that he was Son of God, he tore his clothes. You know, they thought they were doing service.
Yes.
Although in reality, they were blinded with their pride. They were blinded with their selfish reason. Because if people follow Jesus Christ, it means that they will lose out. See it. The pastors will lose out. The priests will lose out. Their churches will be empty. If people know the truth, you know that?
Yes.
So they don't want you to know the truth. Amen. Very few can accept it. I've been to a church before. I preached there. You were there. The pastor is a bishop, not even pastor. He has gone beyond the level of bishop or pastor. He's not a bishop. You know, they go higher. Some then go to archbishop. So I met this one. I preached in his church. After preaching, he called me to the corner. He told me, you were there. He said, do you know that this thing you are preaching? Do you know all these big men of God? Big church, big name. He said, they don't know. He said, they don't know. The guy said, God is great. He said, do you know they don't know? One, he was referring to himself too. He said, they don't know anything that, they don't know even a little what you know.
They don't.
And do you know what? After that, one would have expected that he would come back again and again. That was the end.
Was
I never heard of him again.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they are afraid that their church will get empty.
Mm-hmm.
When you know the truth, you will know that you don't need religion to find God. Amen.
Amen.
You know that God is already present. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All you need to do is to walk in truth.
Yes.
Walk in God by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. So what is the whole thing that we're saying here? Everything comes by faith. First of all, faith comes by what? By hearing. That's why it says that, mind how you hear. See it. Hear him. Listen to him. Faith comes by hearing, and as we hear the testimony from heaven, it's revealing your divine nature. Certain things are so strong. You people know me now. You know me how I've struggled with certain nature over the years. But gradually, as I begin to lend my ears to the Spirit of God, these things will begin to fall off out of you without even effort.
Mm-hmm.
See it?
Effortless.
Yes, if you're someone that is angry and is proud or whatever, all these things will leave you when you begin to know who you are. See it? When you begin to rediscover the treasure that you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to know the perfection that you are. When you begin to know the prince that you are, the king that you are. You don't need to struggle. All those things will leave you. You are not a drunkard. You are not a fornicator. You are not a liar. See, you are not anything. You are perfect as your father is perfect. You are glorious as your father is glorious. You are in the image of your God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But all this can only happen as we hear the truth. That's why it says that to as many as have received him, he has given them the power to become sons of God. We receive him by receiving his words. Because he represents the word. See it? And he's speaking to this very day. You know that? Christ is speaking to this very day. I've told you, I've had many, many experiences. But if I remember the things that God has showed me, at times I weep because I feel I'm not even done enough. I've not done enough for God. If I tell you the things that God has showed me. You know, I was preaching somewhere before. When I went to Lagos some weeks ago, the family that I preached this thing, where I preached it, you know, I was explaining, I was reminding them what happened some years ago when I was in the parlor in that family preaching. And, you know, chickens from the neighborhood, many chickens, from the neighborhood just came from suddenly rushing, you know, quick. I was just watching, they came from all over the neighborhood and they were standing on the windows watching me as I was preaching.
In that place.
I reminded them, they were all, there was silence in the parlor. They were all scared because they now remember. You know, we forget very easily. You know, men forget very easily.
Yeah.
I reminded them and all of them, they now remembered. They were, I could see fear in their eyes. I said, remember. And immediately I finished, what happened? They all gone. They all left. The woman in the parlor was screaming, God, what's happening? I've never seen this before. What was God saying? That if you won't listen, even the animals want to hear. They want to hear what I'm saying. Praise God. So these words are things, they're precious things that you have to receive with diligence. The multitudes, what were they following Jesus for? From food and miracle. When he multiplied the loaves and all that, when they saw that one, they said they've seen their Messiah. And they wanted more and more miracles. That's all they wanted. But just a handful would go at night to ask Jesus, please teach us. Because Jesus Christ always spoke in parables to the multitudes. Always.
Parable.
But the few disciples and some other people apart from disciples would go to him at night and ask him, please, what did you mean by this? How many of us can just be in our silence, ask God to teach me? Amen.
Amen.
He is the greatest teacher. See, this is the thing that matters most. Because when he teaches you, when you ascend into that state, anything that you need will be accorded to you. You see, I'm just telling you a testimony. I'm going to give it much better later, you know. We've been looking for a place to have fellowship. And from the look of things, even a hotel, a four-star hotel, is probably offering us a hall now for free. See it, and you see, when you begin to walk in God, everything will unfold before your eyes.
Yes, myself.
Everything will unfold. You don't need to struggle.
No.
You just be faithful. Everything will unfold because you are the Son of God. The Son of God is not meant to sweat. It's not meant to suffer. Adam, because of Adam, was that he will sweat, toil, and he will use tons of tissue. That was because of Adam. But it's not so for the sons of God. The sons of God will prosper in all things.
Yes.
All things are yours. You don't need to sweat. You don't need to be worried about tomorrow. You are covered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So let us ascend, awake, recognize the indwelling Christ.
Yes.
Walk in the truth. Walk in the revelation of who I am. See it. Awake. As thou that sleepest, that's what is written in the Bible. And as you awake, you will discover that you are the brightness of his glory. You are everything that God is. You are that perfection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We exalt your name.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. Thank you for this word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let yokes be broken.
Amen.
Let, you know, the veil over the faces of men be destroyed.
Amen.
Let them recognize this great mystery.
Amen.
Let them understand this great, great mystery.
Amen.
This oneness that we have in you.
Amen.
This love and this glory that you have bestowed upon us from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Thank you for this revelation light.
Amen.
We ask that there will be a continuous flow of your word.
Amen.
Prosper us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.